Jalen Suggs is the truth. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take on a Monday. Hope you all had a fabulous weekend. Coach Seth Greenberg here with us. You know it's going to be a good day. Stephen A., Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Fellas, let's get right into it. Gonzaga staying perfect thanks to that buzzer beater taking down UCLA. They are one step away, one game away, Baylor tonight, to becoming national champions in a perfect season. Stephen A., first thought when you saw that Sugg shot?
Wow. I mean, first of all, major props to both UCLA and Gonzaga. That was one of the great games in college basketball history we've seen. Nip and tuck all the way throughout from start to finish. It was something spectacular to behold. But when I thought about Jalen Suggs hitting that game winner, I loved it. I thought about Jenkins hitting the shot to win the national title for Villanova. I thought about Christian Leighton hitting his shot against Kentucky to go to the Final Four. I thought about all of those things as well. Because, I mean, listen, it's one shining moment, right? It's March Madness. It's what everything's about. We could get into Timmy taking over in overtime the way that he was, balling the way that he did. We can look at UCLA and Juzang, who's the real deal. He was sensational as well. We can look at a lot of different things. But that shot really epitomized what March Madness was all about. And the first thought that really came to my mind to answer the question is, this is why you love March Madness so much. This is what you don't get watching college football. It's what you don't get watching tennis. It's what you don't get even watching NBA basketball. You might get moments, but I'm talking about with so much on the line, one and done, that kind of stuff. You just don't see it. This is what you live for when you talk about March Madness, and it just lived up to its billing as far as I'm concerned.
All I could think about after that game was that is one of the greatest college games I've ever seen and one of the most dramatic and greatest endings I've ever seen and one of the greatest kind of closeout performances at the end of regulation by a player I've ever seen in Suggs. And I have to confess that my next thought was, man, I don't want to take anything away. Man, if only this were in the finals instead of only, right, a Final Four game. And if only they were down a point or two and that shot was to win it, I could come out today and say definitively, that's the greatest game of all time. That's the greatest ending of all time. I can't because it wasn't. Because, you know, even just recently, Villanova and North Carolina, right? Similar circumstances, but for the championship. When I was a kid, like Duke and UNLV, right? So this places among all of them, even though it was a Final Four and not a championship game. Suggs's performance, I will never forget. The block, the pass, the shot. He did it all to get them to overtime, and it takes its place among the all-time greats. You tweak two things. If they were down when he hit that shot, and if this were in the finals, it would have been the greatest of all time.
Yeah, Max, I agree with you. Look, what I thought when that ball went in, this dude is just different. He is just different. Everyone says he's got it. This dude has it. He can't define it, but he's got it. And Max, you are 100% right. Like, to me, the shot was ridiculous. People don't even talk about the inbounds pass because Gonzaga was so well coached. They didn't look for a timeout. They had a timeout. What happened? Timmy took it out. Boom, got it to Suggs. All right, he pushes it up the floor. UCLA doesn't turn him. He knocks it in. But the block and the pass, to me, was even more incredible. Think about the block. I mean, boom, get a
yes.
piece of it.
And this pass.
Head up, eyes up, Magic Johnson, Timmy running the floor. Are you kidding me? How many guys can make that play? Gets a hand on the basketball, composed, settles himself, eyes up so he can see the floor and makes the play. To me, the dude is just different. You're right. We saw an all-time great game. It wasn't a championship game, but it was an all-time great game. The shot, is it Jordan-esque? Is it Chris Jenkins? I don't know. I just know that that dude's going to make that play because he is just different. That's why I say you can put him in an NBA game right now and he can lead a team. That guy's the overall number one pick in the NBA draft. He has it.
It was more Jenkins than Jordan, in my opinion. But I would tell you this. I love the fact, because that's where I was going next, Coach, once you finish. I love the fact that you brought it, because I'm just looking at this kid. When you talk about the it factor, You're talking about a freshman, okay? Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball in Minnesota and what have you. This dude comes out there. That block, and then to block the shot, grab the ball, and head up, throw that bounce pass to Timmy on the move between three UCLA defenders. That's the kind of stuff where if you're an NBA scout and you're looking for something special and you see it, you witness it, it's like, okay, he is that dude right there. Because that's just not a play somebody that's not special can't make. You see a lot of special things that happen in college basketball, but you know it's an isolated situation where, okay, a guy usually is not going to make that play. He lucked up, more props to him, more power to him or whatever. But to block the shot, grab the rebound, and then two bounces before you throw a bounce pass between three UCLA defenders, I thought that play was just so sensational. It basically solidified that he is different, that he is special, and he is coming. It was a sensational game, but that was the play. I believe, Coach, I'm just thinking about it. I could be wrong because I haven't seen every game. I think that might be the play of the NCAA tournament. That play right there.
That's one of the all-time great plays.
It was one of the all-time. I'll tell you the other thing you don't even talk about, his toughness. Two sport guys. And everyone says, well, you know, he was obviously a terrific football player. That dude gets knocked down. You know what he does? He dusts himself off, pops right back up, says, all right, next play. He got hit in his stomach. He's doubled over. He gets a play on the defensive end. Hey, he did a good job on Johnny Juzang in the second half. Remember, he didn't guard Juzang in the first half.
Right.
And you know what? Juzang was terrific. UCLA's game plan was terrific. They controlled the tempo, yet they were so efficient. But that dude is different. But they got a challenge coming up tonight. That is a little bit different also, because there's a guy named Davion Mitchell. He's a pretty good defender.
Coach, that's where I wanted to go. Like, I think of UNLV. I think of the Running Rebels because they were, when I was in high school, people used to rock Running Rebels hats. I had a Running Rebels hat. I lived in New York. They're a college team from Vegas. Everyone, you know, and then after winning the title, they go undefeated. And they're going to be the defending national champions. They're going to do it again. When Duke knocks them out, it's like, whoa, and you never forget it. The thing about this, I agree, it's not just a shot. As I said, it's the block, the pass, the shot in the final 2 minutes of the game. If Gonzaga wins the national title, gets their title finally, coming from where they did as a program to finally win a title in an undefeated season, especially if for whatever reason the championship game is not as close as this one was, that those final 2 minutes out of Suggs will be elevated even more. We will remember it even differently and more fondly than we're thinking about it right now.
I will tell you this. I will tell you this. I remember when you thought about UNLV again, you're looking at a UNLV squad that was absolutely special. I mean, you know, we talk about Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony. We forgot about Anderson Hunt. We forgot about Stacey Augman. George Eccles was their center and stuff like that. You look at that. You look at this Gonzaga team, their movement without the basketball, the cuts to the basket, around the basket. They were making cuts just to get other dudes open. Their basketball IQ is off the charts. They're a special team to watch. But I want to give UCLA some props, Coach, for a second. First of all, Nick Cronin's done a hell of a job. That's number one. Number two, do you know that every member of UCLA starting five shot better than 50% from the field Saturday night? Every single member. Every one of them shot 50% or better from the field, their entire starting five. They were as efficient as they come. They showed a whole bunch of heart. Juzang is the real deal. I don't know if his stock will ever be higher than it is right now, but Suggs is something special. And Timmy, give him a lot of credit, took over in overtime and was a man amongst boys. Mm-hmm. He was taking advantage and exploiting every single mismatch that was created for him. He capitalized off of it. I'm watching stuff like this and I'm saying, look, Baylor is no joke. Baylor is coming. And Gonzaga definitely has to finish the job. You don't finish the job, that's a problem. But I got to give UCLA props, and we can't ignore that. Baylor can take them. Gonzaga better be ready for tonight.
It was such a well-played game. It was both teams. Such a well-played game.
Exceptional.
No question. I just want to repeat what Coach had said, that Suggs is the best player in this year's draft. But first, he's got to finish the job tonight. Stephen A., you just mentioned Drew Timmy. Max, who do you think is the more important player tonight? Is it Suggs or Timmy for the Zags?
Suggs. It's Suggs. And I understand, like, well, you think Timmy has a better matchup, whatever. To me, that's why it's Suggs. Because if Suggs is going up against guards, plural, who have an NBA future, and he gets it done, Gonzaga's going to win. That will ensure Gonzaga wins. And from what I just saw from Suggs, from what we've just been talking about, a combo guard who does everything you want a guy to do that deep in the tournament, who's also that athletic, who's that much of a leader, that guy is who I'm looking at. It's not, listen, I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, okay? Please, let me be very clear about this. I understand there's only one Michael Jordan, but when he went up against Georgetown, he had future NBA guys, at least one, in the backcourt that he was playing against, and yet it was Jordan who finished the job, and that's, to me, what the challenge is here for Suggs tonight. It could be that you have mismatches elsewhere and you go to it. That's not how I see it. In games like this, guys like Suggs rise, and I believe he will be the difference. He'll win his tough matchups, and that's the reason Gonzaga will win.
Well, first of all, you know, every time you bring up Jordan and North Carolina, let's forget that a dude by the name of Fred Brown gave the ball to James Worthy thinking that that was his teammate. Let's not forget that big element in the sequence there. Let's not forget. That's a very big play. So, you know, it's beautiful because Jordan ultimately became Jordan on the NBA level. And obviously that was a big-time shot from 17 feet that he drilled from the left wing. We get all of that. But the flip side is that, damn, the ball was given away, too. Let's not forget that. That's number one. Number two. I would tell you it's Drew Timmy. And the reason why I say it's Drew Timmy is because it's not just his level of production, Max. It's the fact that few creates mismatches. The ball movement, the movement without the ball, the way they move around the rim, cutting in and out of the basket. The reality is that you find yourself in situations where you've got to be very, very particular and very specific about who's defending Timmy because he's so efficient. I mean, the brother's got moves around the basket. He draws fouls. He finishes. He's got a nice touch. I mean, he can do a lot of things. And if you're Baylor and you don't have an answer for Timmy, look at his numbers from the other night, 11 of 15. 11 of 15 from the field, 11 of 14 from inside. He only attempted 1 3-pointer. He's incredibly, incredibly efficient. You can have guard play. You can get it from Suggs or anybody. Nembhard, let's not forget him as your point guard. Great decision maker, at least Saturday night. I've been very impressed with what I've seen from him. But in the end, it's going to come down. If you can't contain Timmy, you got no shot. You got no shot if you can't contain him. If that brother takes you to school in the low post, if you're Baylor, lights out. It's over. It's a wrap. You've got to find a way to neutralize him and make Suggs and Nembhard and those boys. And Ayayi, let's not forget him. You've got to make them beat you, particularly from the perimeter. You can't do that if you can't contain Timmy. So I'd say Timmy's the key to me.
Stephen A., my man Stephen A., I'm happy you finally have come around to this because a week ago, I mentioned Timmy and how good he was, and you said, Timmy, he's no Kevin McHale. He's no this guy. He's no that guy. Let's go to the old video. Here's the deal. You're right, Stephen A. You finally came over to my side, which most times when you come over to my side is the right side. So I appreciate that. It worked. I convinced you. Timmy's ridiculous. They score 50 points a game in the post, in the paint. They had 56 against UCLA. Now, here's the deal. The most important matchup in the game, though, is going to be Kispert. And I'll tell you why. Because you talk about those other guys around him, and Timmy is. Look, Timmy's just different. The dude is just different. Gets 56, scores in all different types of ways. Oh, by the way, he's averaging 4 assists a game. Kispert, if you can't take Kispert off the floor and look for Matt Meyer off the bench for Baylor to play a bunch of minutes to make Kispert defend. Because if you can get Kispert in foul trouble, the perimeter players at Gonzaga, the rest of them in the tournament, are shooting about 28% from the three. So if you get Kispert out, who's shooting 50%, now all of a sudden the court shrinks a little bit. So that's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. The other thing is you've got to find a way to make Timmy defend. What's the best way to guard Timmy? Make him defend, get him in foul trouble. That's what UCLA did. They played the last 9 minutes with him in foul trouble. The step-up charge he took in that game with four fouls, incredible. Big-time play. So you've got to make Timmy defend. You've got to see if you can make Kispert defend. Matt Meyer, by the way, he never saw a shot he didn't like. He will get shots up. You can play him almost at the point as a four-man. That will be interesting. Kind of like what UCLA did with Jaime Jaquez, which I thought was really smart. But you're right, Stephen A. Timmy's the most important guy for Gonzaga because they score all those points in the paint because they play through him. And then if you double him, he is a terrific passer. And they're the best cutting team I've seen in probably 30 years. I mean, they cut as well as anyone. But this is a big day for me. Max, this is a big day for me. And I'll tell you why it's a big day. Because Stephen A and I agree. I feel better about myself today.
Well,
you should.
He should feel better about himself, as a matter of fact. Hey, I'm glad you brought up Kispert, Coach, because going into the tournament, it's like he is the best player on the team kind of thing. And I feel like especially after that game, what happened at the end of regulation with Suggs and during overtime with Timmy, but Kispert is just as likely as anyone to be the best player on the floor in the championship.
Well, you could say that, but I'm not sure about that. Listen, he can play, and I like Kispert a lot. I truly, truly do. But like you said, Suggs is different. He's a different kind of talent. And then when you look at Timmy, because of what you require from Timmy in the low post, the fact that, again, it's one thing when you're just taking your man. It's another thing entirely when mismatches occur and you pick them up. Coach will tell you this. Do you know how many times a mismatch is created and players miss it? They miss it. In other words, a mismatch occurs and, oh, my God, I'm a little bit late. I'm a second or two late picking that up. And defenses are allowed to recover. Not against Gonzaga. You create a mismatch, they pick it up right away. Especially Timmy. And if you're Baylor, Baylor's athleticism, their tenacity and all of that stuff might come into play. But they are prone to making mistakes. And Gonzaga, you can't do that. UCLA played in their perfect game. But Baylor's going to need to do that in order to win this game. You cannot afford to make these mistakes against Gonzaga.
In the modern game, especially the modern college game, guard play is going to determine stuff more than anything. And if you have an athletic combo guard who you know can get it done and then gets better under pressure in every facet of the game, the reason it's so interesting to me that it's a block and a pass and a shot from long range is it shows you an overall basketball package and IQ and ability. In every facet of the game you need in those closeout moments, he's got it. If it comes down to it, Suggs will be the difference again.
I'm going to tell you guys to watch one thing in this game. It's going to go both ways. Middle ball screens. Middle ball screens. When Gonzaga runs that middle ball screen, if they can get a switch, obviously they can get Timmy on the block. But they will go some dribble at handoff action to a middle ball screen. Both of these teams, if they can get a switch, all right, Gonzaga get a switch, obviously Timmy's going to destroy him. On the other end, when Baylor runs their middle ball screens, their bigs only score off of that play because it's not a play for them. But if you take the ball out of Mitchell's hands, they rim run and they throw lobs and those guys catch it. How both teams defend when the ball's in the middle of the floor, those middle ball screens. Because I'll tell you what, if you help off the wings, they're spraying it out, Baylor, and Meyer's knocking down threes. Flagler's knocking down threes. Maceo Teague's knocking down threes. You close out hard at them, they're driving them. That middle ball screen, as you watch that game, I want in the back of your head, have little Stephen A. on your shoulder, Stephen A. He'll be on your shoulder going, coach said, middle ball screen, we got to see how they're going to guard it. Because the team that guards that middle ball screen is going to have a huge advantage. Tell little Stephen A. I helped him with that.
I'll tell little coach. Hey, coach, I'm just going to ask you this here now. I'll ask the fellas a little later in the show. So according to Vegas, Caesars, they have the Zags winning by 4.5. Who do you think wins?
I think Gonzaga wins. I don't think they cover. I think this is going to go down to the last play. I really do. I think Baylor is so good defensively and offensively. They actually have more shot makers. Like Kispert's the best jump shooter on Gonzaga. But you're talking about, like I said, Flagler and Meyer come off the bench. They score like 27 points a game off the bench with those dudes. And then obviously Maceo Teague, he could drop 30. So this is going to be a great game. Let's sit back, pop the popcorn, and just kind of enjoy it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Meanwhile, that bad man, fellas, Aaron Rodgers, still uncertain of his future in Green Bay, even after winning his third MVP award for the Pack. Talking to our Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter, Aaron expressing some doubts. Listen for yourself.
I said last year, I didn't know if that was actually possible to be able to finish there. I still feel like that's kind of where we're at. I mean, I don't know that a lot of that's in my hands, but I guess we'll kind of see as we go. Like I said last year, you know, there's things that are just out of my control. The team has obviously the power to do what they want. My job is just to play as well as I can.
Stephen A.
Yeah.
What does Rodgers have left to prove?
Well, listen, I think that it's one of two things. You got to win a Super Bowl. And if you don't win a Super Bowl, it needs to be vividly clear that you're not the reason that did not happen. We act like the quarterback position is everything. It's not everything. Aaron Rodgers can't catch the ball for wide receivers. He can't run the ball for running backs. He certainly can't rush the quarterback playing defensive end. He's not a linebacker. He's not a cornerback or a free safety or strong safety. He's not in the secondary. In the sport of football, you can't look at one dude to do everything. You just cannot. We have to look at him and say, okay, in its totality, what does Aaron Rodgers bring to the table? Okay, and I don't think there's any question in my mind that this brother, as a talent, is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen in the history of the National Football League. Not the greatest resume, because we know that belongs to Tom Brady, and that's why he's the GOAT. But as a talent, I challenge anybody to tell me there's ever been a quarterback better than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when you consider the totality of his career and what this brother's put up, I mean, you're talking about I don't know his overall record. I think it's like 160. I forgot what it was. I'm not going to even try. But I'm thinking about the 13 years that he's been the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Other than his rookie season, he's hit as the starting quarterback for the team in 2008. The man has one losing season in the last 12 years. I'm thinking about he has 412 touchdowns and like 89 interceptions. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a near 5-1 touchdown to interception ratio. This brother is just on another level. At age 37. He is the reigning league MVP. 48 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions, completing 70% of his passes. His brother's just on another level. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I don't want to hear, oh, Aaron Rodgers has to win a Super Bowl, otherwise he's flopped. Well, listen, you got that point if you got a defense. You got that point if collectively you got a team that's ready to handle their business as well. But I've seen plenty of instances in throughout Aaron Rodgers' career where Aaron Rodgers has showed up and the rest of the team didn't. And so that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm not going to look at him and say it's Super Bowl or else. We can't look at Aaron Rodgers and say you're the big reason why it did not get done. That's what we can't do. You got me there. But barring that, no. I'm going to tell you, yeah, he got to win. Yeah, in all honesty, he needs to win a Super Bowl. but it's entirely plausible that Aaron Rodgers could be elite and not win because other dudes don't show up. This is football, after all, and that's what I'm paying attention to.
Man, Aaron Rodgers has got to win another Super Bowl, period.
Well, first of all, his name is Aaron,
one.
Not Allen, but go ahead.
I said Aaron.
You said Allen, but go ahead.
Well, it may have sounded like Allen, but anyway. Did I say Allen? Check the tape. That's his cousin, Allen. Listen,
okay.
He has to win at least one more with the Packers. It'd be a good idea if he's going to not finish his career with the Packers to also win another. Here's the thing. I agree with you about what you said about Aaron Rodgers' talent. Best ever, till Patrick Mahomes came along. I think if there's an edge, it even goes to Mahomes. But you want to say they're 1A and 1B, however you slice it, fine. Those guys are like, oh my God, they're just different from everyone else. Once upon a time, the guy like that, though a different kind of player, was Dan Marino. You just watched him with your eyes and say, he's just better than everyone, right? But never won a Super Bowl. Montana won 4. Marino had to win that one. The standard has changed. Brady's got 7. 7. You're not in the conversation for greatest quarterback ever with 1. What Brady has shown, not only was with you a great, he was with a great franchise and then the best team this year, but he's also shown that the most important attribute a quarterback has, forget about all the eye-popping stuff we see from Rodgers and Mahomes. The number one thing is you have to have the requisite arm strength and accuracy, of course. But the number one thing is processing information quickly. Make the best decisions the fastest. That's what Brady seems to do. Now, I think Rodgers really good at that too, right? The problem is he plays against Brady. Well, he's playing against the Tampa defense. He didn't have his, you know, his starting left tackle. That's true. But in the moment of truth, there was daylight to the end zone. He threw it instead of ran it. And now it's not his fault the coach took the ball out of his hand. That's what happened. Coach blundered. But Rodgers blundered before coach blundered. And Brady's team won. Rodgers' talent and decision-making and all that stuff suggests he should at least be in the conversation for greatest quarterback who ever lived. He will not be without another Super Bowl. It'd be one thing if he was on a bad team. And yes, the Packers did him dirty a little by drafting a quarterback in the first round, but they fielded an excellent team. They had chances to win the NFC Championship game. They've been in the NFC Championship game in consecutive years now. And while Rodgers is the number one reason, he's not the only reason. Who's running the ball? I mean, Aaron Jones, really good. Devontae Adams, like, they got guys to catch the ball. Zadarius Smith, they got guys who can tackle guys. Like, they have guys who can make plays on both sides of the ball, and they should get better through the draft. They have a championship-caliber squad and an all-time great quarterback who just won MVP, still in his prime. No excuses. Rodgers needs to win another Super Bowl. Stephen A., or else what? We already know he's an all-time great, but his talent suggests he's more than just that. He should be at least in the conversation for greatest ever. He needs another Super Bowl.
Not when it comes to football. Football is too much of a team sport to put it at his shoulders like that. The fact of the matter is I can make a legitimate argument. I could challenge anybody to tell me to try to come up with a quarterback who's been let down more by his supporting cast over his career than Aaron Rodgers. I want to know who that is. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we might have to go back to Dan Marino. We might have to go back to something like that because he never had a defense, for crying out loud. We might look at it from that perspective, but you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody let down more by his supporting cast. The Green Bay Packers have not only asked Aaron Rodgers to be great, they've asked him to carry a franchise for the better part of his entire career. That's been the situation he's been dealing with in Green Bay, which is why it's so damn egregious that they don't have any guaranteed money for him after giving him a $6.8 million signing bonus just a few weeks ago. No guaranteed money for that dude. Age 37, who sits here today and is about to host Jeopardy tonight as the reigning league MVP at age 37. 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 70% completion with his passes. This brother is on another level. And the fact that we find ourselves talking about Aaron Rodgers in this regard is what makes all of this so blasphemous, so flagrantly disrespectful to the greatness that he has exhibited.
But even
let me tell you something
admission.
Right now. Let me tell you something right now. It's bad enough outside of the Greek freak, the only thing Wisconsin's got is cheese, okay? It's bad enough that that's the reality. When this man leaves, when Aaron Rodgers decides to walk away, you're going to miss him when he's gone. And those people in Green Bay and throughout Wisconsin are going to be crying for a long time when that man is gone. You're going to regret it.
You're going to regret how you treated
unless
him.
Jordan Love turns out to be the next great quarterback.
Oh, please.
They didn't miss
Brett Favre
because they
had Aaron Rodgers. He ain't going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Once upon a time, you think, well, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be Brett Favre, and he was even better.
I didn't think that.
Look, the point is, by your own admission, Stephen A., when you talk about Rodgers, you have to say, but not accomplishment. I'm not saying by resume. I'm saying by talent, right? The fact is, even one more championship. Because unlike Peyton Manning, Rodgers does not have a history of playing worse in the playoffs than in the regular season, right? So even if he gets even another Super Bowl win, he'll be back at least in the conversation. Some people could say, look, he didn't have Belichick all those years.
All right,
he's
Mac.
Still got multiple
no
rings.
Problem.
That's where he deserves to be.
No problem, Max. Then shut the hell up about great coaches then. Don't say anything
why?
No more. Because what I'm saying, I'm just
is Rodgers the greatest quarterback of all time?
Listen to me. What I'm saying
is he?
One of the things, regardless of Tom Brady's resume, it didn't stop you from pointing out the greatness of Bill Belichick and how Bill Belichick deserved credit for it. In other words, as great as Tom Brady was, you looked at Bill Belichick as an incredible cause that facilitated the success of Tom Brady. Because in the sport of football, that's what we do. We talk in basketball or something, this argument is profoundly more significant coming your way. But because we're talking about football, you cannot ignore what Lut Aaron Rodgers has been saddled with for years.
When you say saddled with, yes, there were years where his team wasn't good enough, he had to carry them. His team is quite good now. And I challenge you. Are you saying Rodgers is in the conversation for greatest quarterback ever at this moment? Because
about,
if you're not, you and I both know he should be.
What are we talking about? We're talking about resume, right?
If he, Stephen A., you would not argue he's the greatest quarterback of all time. But the fact is, you and I both suspect that he should be in that argument. If he gets even one more ring, he will be. That's how great he is. That's what your eyes tell you.
Right, because he would have been the one carrying this team because we don't have that faith in the organization that they could do it themselves.
Anymore.
They're riding his coattails in order to do it.
All right.
Yeah, they got to go.
Let's see what they do when he's gone.
So cute how you defend your man, Stephen A. You just get so upset.
He deserves it.
For him. I really
he deserves it.
He deserves
it. He really does.
Absolutely.
He really does. He deserves it.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Buccaneers cornerback Carlton Davis apologized for using an anti-Asian slur after tweeting Sunday night and then later deleting, "Gotta stop letting blanks in Miami." Davis, 24, apologized for using the slur in subsequent tweets and said he thought the term meant lame. Stephen A., what's your reaction to this tweet?
My reaction to it is that I completely I'm not Asian American, so it's for them, obviously their thoughts and feelings matter significantly more than mine. Let me preface my comment by saying that. But I completely accept his explanation. I think one of the things that we have to recognize is the world that we live in. It's incredibly important to be compassionate and forgiving the people who may not know. If you definitively and explicitly express that you did not know that it was an offensive term to Asian Americans. Well, now that you do, what's your reaction to it? And if the reaction to it is that, you know, I'm going to delete that from my vocabulary, it will not happen again, et cetera, et cetera. I think that we can accept Carlton Davis on his word. I thought that what he expressed was very contrite. I thought it was very sincere. And the most important point that I picked up from it is that he expressed it in a way where he was saying, I honestly did not know. And it came across as incredibly, incredibly believable. And if you didn't know, you didn't know. A lot of times when we absorb something that's insulting, your level of knowledge does matter. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that can say that they didn't know the N-word was offensive to black people when it comes from people who are not black. I don't think that there are certain words that are used, insulting words or derogatory words that are used to describe Jewish folks. I don't think we can get away with saying that we didn't know that was offensive. With the gay community, the F-word, I think we understand that that's offensive. We get that. But there are instances where there are words that come about and you honestly don't know or didn't know that it was offensive. And if you express that you didn't know, I think we have to take that into consideration before we're deciding how somebody should be treated or felt about based on what they explained. I felt his explanation was very real, very sincere. And I think that when he said he didn't know, he obviously came across to me like he meant that. And I'm good with it. Again, I'm not Asian American, so it'll be interesting to hear what they say. But if you're asking me, I thought the fact that he didn't know was a big, big deal.
Yeah, I would say I appreciate what you're saying. Since you're not Asian American, you don't want to speak for Asian Americans. Of course, sure. Even if you were, you wouldn't be speaking for all Asian Americans.
Right.
Because groups are not monoliths. They think differently within groups. Yeah. And if you want to you know, group people together from a certain part of the world based on their gender identity, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I feel comfortable saying, you know, hate crimes against Asian Americans are bad. You know, people should stop them if they see them. And there should certainly be a culture that strongly sanctions against that. That's different, you know, than what Carlton Davis did, which is I will take him at his word. By the way, just as I took Myers Leonard at his word, Stephen A., about when he used the anti-Jewish slur, and which was different to me than DeSean Jackson, who quoted stuff and from Hitler and then highlighted like the worst, most anti-Semitic parts of it. Doesn't mean you canceled DeSean Jackson. If the dude's heart is in the right place and there's an outreach and he educates himself and sees what, you know, no problem. It's not that it's no problem. It's that you move on and he should go on and have a productive life and not be, you know, canceled. Right. It would be a lack of contrition that would say, that's not good enough. In this case, I believe Carlton Davis. I take him at his word. He didn't know it was an anti-Asian slur. I would also say that more important than that is his heart in the right place? It seems to be, from what I can gather. But again, the reason it's an important topic to discuss, even on this show, is the rise in hate crimes against Asian Americans, which is an absolute disgrace right now throughout our country. And it happens. It's happening all over. And don't forget, we are a country who, during the Second World War, had internment camps for Japanese Americans. It's always been easier to identify people based on racial differences. But they were American citizens. And because they were more easily identifiable, and there was obviously bias against and racism at work, they were put in internment camps in this country within the last, 100 years. So I think we should all be especially sensitive to this issue and or any issue where one group is being it's certainly singled out with language, but also during a time in which they're targeted for, with violence. I think it's important that people of goodwill come together and say that's not OK. And if Carlton Davis is one of those people who says, no, it's not OK, then that's the right thing to do.
Well, he was one of those people who said it wasn't okay. After he was educated about the fact right. that at age 24, he didn't know that it was offensive to Asian Americans. So that's what I'm saying. We have to take into consideration. The only other point that I'd like to make is that, you know, you're right. We're not one monolithic group that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You have your own different thoughts and all of that other stuff. But I will venture to say that I don't know any black people. I'm 53 years old. I don't know any black people that think it's okay for somebody outside of our community to utter the N-word. In that regard, I do think we're very monolithic.
Yeah, and I would also say that right. that groups, your point's well taken. If it's that as a member of the group, you will be sensitive to nuances and that the people from not inside that group won't be as sensitive to or won't have the same kind of nuanced understanding. I think that is legitimate. In this case, I agree. Carlton Davis says he didn't know it. I'm willing to take him at his word. He didn't know it. And furthermore, he feels bad about it and is going to correct it. That's the most important thing.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.